Welcome to the Hour Time Podcast, the podcast for Watch Geeks by Watch Geeks. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Victor Marks.
I'm Nicholas De Leon.
And today on the show we have Tudor, Casio, and making fun of watch lovers. This is the Hour Time Podcast. I want to make fun of watch lovers. I'm exhausted by watch Reddits.
What brings up this criticism this week?
What came up on Reddit, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of all this stuff. It's always like some dude who's like a really expensive watch, and he's like, look at my humble collection. And it's always like, look, what should I buy? And everybody's like, oh, you can only buy like a fancy Rolex, or else you're a pervert. And it's just it's completely exhausting.
It is.
You might know this more, John. I have a question because you've been in the watch game, so to speak, for a while. You've also been in the media game for a while. It kind of feels like, you know how like fandoms, like when your favorite band is small,
yeah, and everyone's
intimate. And as it gets bigger, it's filled with, you know, more and more jerks, basically.
Yep.
Is that a watch thing that's happening? You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was literally just like nerds. And now it's just dudes stunting for Instagram clout. Yes. Are you seeing that?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. No. It used to be.
Okay.
Used to be the way it used to run is that it would be like a couple forums. Then we'd have the watch blogs. A couple of the watch blogs got big because they were the only ones in town. And now it's like the watch gentry or whatever the heck his name is, or like Lubo the watch lover, who's like, oh, the best watch I think is the one that just paid me $5,000 for advertising, and it's the Citizen Dingus fonts or whatever
the Schwinkelhorn.
The Hodinky Schwinkelhawk. from Omega, that's giving us a special deal on these things where they sell them massive amounts of money for no good reason, and
a very good reason.
Well, for a very good reason, but yes, because the industry is dead, and the only people who are propping it up are a bunch of morons who buy a bunch of garbage. Speaking of that, let's talk about Tudor.
Yeah, well, so wow. Tudor took their Pelagos, which has not really been updated a whole lot. They came out with the original one. Powered by an ETA. They updated it to the new fancy manufacturer movement. They made the LHD version of it, where they put the date on the other side and gave it a vintage fotina to the indices. And now they've come back with the third version of this thing, basically. And
yes.
It is still the titanium case. It's still got way too much text on the dial. But to their credit, they took a line of text off of it. It is not on the site. It's going on the site today. They took a line of text off the dial, thanks to them.
Oh, God.
So instead of having, five lines below the above the 6 o'clock position, now they've gone to four. They also took away the date complication.
Should we say with the four lines? All right. It says Pelagos chronometer officially certified.
Are we not allowed to say? What's the...
I'm just looking at a photo of it.
You can say it. Why wouldn't you say
it? But is it embargoed?
What was the line before?
Why don't we have it on the site? Sorry, we're doing some house cleaning here. I'm about to...
Yeah.
Please continue.
Right. So, and on the back, this is the thing that makes this one special, right? The reason why you must spend all your money to get this is two reasons. They made the lugs fixed. They are fixed bars that are a part of the case.
Mm.
And on the back, they put the French Marine Nationale logo.
That's right. Slow down.
So what they've done here is they've gone ahead and reestablished the partnership that they had with the French National Navy, the French Navy. And they're supplying these watches to the French Navy. And, you know, they're talking about how the fixed bars are required so that it doesn't fall off its strap when you're diving. And the fully marked bezel is used as a compass for navigating underwater.
Ah, and so forth. Okay.
And look, this kills me because nobody in their right mind is diving on a critical military mission with the Tudor watch.
We don't have that. You don't have that information. You don't know if what's a good French? Let's go with
Le Chief.
French son, Le Chief. The hero of the French army is getting into the ocean with a Tudor on his wrist, and he uses the underwater compass to go very fast underwater.
Maybe. I don't
Maybe.
know.
Maybe.
We should ask Should we do we know anyone in the French military establishment to ask?
I don't think we have information regarding this. I think the other thing, you know what? Actually, I think this is an interesting point. So think about, give me a rundown of all the European countries that are named in all of these like fanciest watches.
Switzerland,
Germany,
France, Germany.
What else?
Italy, I guess. Panerai.
Italy. One more. Anything else? UK. Let's give it UK.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
England. Okay. Sure.
England. Where's
Great Britain?
Where's Spain? Where's Portugal? Where's the Portuguese army watch? What's wrong with the Portuguese army?
Wait. The IWC Portugueser? Is that the one?
Yeah, but that's not a watch. That's not aimed at the country. It's not like the Portuguese army is using it.
Oh, I think it's kind of an insult. I'm blanking on the name now, but there's a brand that originally started as Swiss and they went under, but their Spanish reseller bought the whole brand out for under and then kept it going.
That cigar brand?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I remember. I think I'm under what you're talking about, like Cubano or Cubat or whatever. Okay, one Something. Spanish one. That's what all I'm trying to say is where is the representation for Nicholas's people? Where's the Puerto Rican watch?
Why is it Puerto Rican? I don't know.
Where's the Polish watch?
We've done the Polish watch. The Polish watch was this thing that was an aviation watch. It had the whole airplane tribute on the back of it because of it was the Polish airplane.
Yeah, there was one Polish airplane that they had. There was one Polish. But anyway, I think it's insulting that they're not supporting every single ethnic group. I want the Romani watch. I want a watch for the Romani.
Navy? Do they have the Albania watch?
We need
the Albania watch. I would buy an Albania watch. It'd be beautiful.
I would like the Andorra watch, please.
I would like a Slovenian watch. I would just have some Chivacivi. have a picture of a small cow on the back and an olive, and it would be filled with olive oil, delicious olive oil. I have some dreams here. Okay. So we got the
Tudor. Did we like the watch before we wrap up? Did we have any in it?
So current reviews of it are mixed, right? Some people are like,
yes, I agree.
They didn't go far enough. They got rid of the date. They took away a line of text. What if they took away more lines of text? Like that would be minimalist. That would be simplified. That would be elegant. There are other people that are like, nobody's diving with this thing. Put the date back on. Those are the two contradicting opinions there.
But I remember distinctly there was like a thing this is silly. I'm looking at the pictures. Wasn't David Beckham wearing it in an Instagram post and everybody's like, oh my God, we just spotted it.
Maybe. I think you're right.
Tudor has three main ambassadors right now. They have David Beckham, they have the All Black rugby team, and they have a Chinese gentleman whose name I forget. I believe his last name is Chow, and he mostly wears the Tudor chronograph, black and the white dial chronograph, and it's amazing because they have pictures of him wearing the chronograph, and then the texts say he wears the glamour line. No, he's not wearing the 1926 glamour line, Tudor. Nobody's wearing the 1926 glamour line. Nobody. It's all nobody in their right mind.
I think that's what I was getting at the top. Like this is all. We're living in a very strange times, gentlemen. Everything is just content. Nothing means anything. I don't understand. It's just JPEGs.
Someone explain to me. They used to have Lady Gaga as the ambassador for Tudor.
Yeah, I thought she was there.
And she's no longer at all mentioned on their ambassador page.
She probably got smart. She probably figured out that she wasn't getting enough money.
Tudor's whole thing, their whole slogan is Born to Dare.
Yeah.
And they came up with that with Gaga. And now she's out, but they're still saying Born to Dare with David Beckham. And I'm like, is David Beckham daring?
No. That's a good question.
He owns an MLS team. I don't know. Is that daring?
What's an MLS team? Is that like millennial?
Inter Miami. He's the owner of the MLS soccer team, Inter Miami. They're new. Is that daring? I don't know. I think he is surrounded by smart people because he does make interesting investments and stuff. Whereas a lot of soccer players just kind of like fade away into obscurity. I know he's always been famous, but like there's a ton of like formerly famous guys.
Yeah, he's been around since squander your money, like, you fall off the earth, right?
He's been around since like 14, right? He's been playing since 14.
Yeah. So he was good as a player and then good as a post player. Mm. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know that any, 16 or 17 year old kid cares who David Beckham is today. That's a different question. I would suspect they have no idea who he is, actually. Yeah. I don't know. I agree. I also agree that the reaction seemed mixed to this thing. I don't know. I was like, it's $4,000 too. I was like, that feels like $1,000.
I'm not giving this an I'll allow it. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay. Here's my final word on this watch. This is better than the P01 that they introduced a couple of years ago, and that's all I can say for it.
That's just because they had those
you
nice
remember that P01? You remember that thing? It was the Tudor that had the crown at 4 o'clock like a Seiko and the atrocious bezel and bracelet. It was just nightmarishly bad.
We're coming up at the end of the year, so we should probably do like a year, the year-end show or two. I feel like Tudor had kind of an uneven year. This release, people aren't in love with.
Yeah.
But the silver... what was it? Black
the 925. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was kind of interesting. That got a decent reaction. I don't know. They feel like it had a kind of a hit or miss year to me.
See, I actually don't mind this silly P01. I mean, it looks goofy and it's crazy expensive.
So that thing, there used to be a bunch of fake Tudors floating around that looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were hawking those fake Tudors said, oh, it was a prototype. It never existed. It was a Tudor prototype, and I'm selling you. I'll sell you one, right? Like they had a whole briefcase full of them to sell. And Tudor weirdly decided to go ahead and legitimize the thing and says, yeah, it was based on a prototype. Okay, wild, but it never existed before, and now it does.
All right. What else did I wrote about this new Casio today. Did you see the Casio?
I saw something about that.
So this is the MTG, and it's the MTG B2000 YBDI, which is a little bit much. And it's basically what I like about these guys is it's basically just like carbon fiber and glass fiber, like just smashed into a little monocoque case. So the whole thing is made out of carbon fiber, including the bracelet, but it looks like steel. It looks like it looks like polished titanium. So this thing could probably take a real licking and keep on ticking. And I think I really like the way that the case itself is actually made of multiple layers. So I have no problem with this thing. The thing I have a problem with is it's $1,200. Would you buy something like this?
Not for
$1,200.
Five, six,
yeah.
Seven, I mean, it's unique. I like it too. Yeah,
it's unique. It's a unique move for Casio, and it's a G-Shock. It's pretty fancy. $1,200 is just a little too much.
How big is this thing?
It's like it's the standard size. It's like 43. It's a
standard G-Shock big size thing.
Actually, yeah, they didn't put the size in.
But it's got Bluetooth Low Energy, right? It synchronizes with your phone.
Yeah, I have the blue version of this. I should actually review or post up it in a little bit. It's nice, but $1,200 is just too much.
It does feel slightly high, yeah.
Yeah.
Even just $1,000, geez.
I have a question because this thing's got the Bluetooth time sync, so it does worldwide time zones and stuff. I have a buddy who wants to go on his first trip outside of the US. Like he's never flown anywhere in his life and he wants to go travel. Yeah. And so he wants a watch and he wants it to be special for this trip. He's going to go to Spain and backpack across Spain basically. And so he's looking for something with a specific set of requirements. He wants quartz for ease and thin. He wants sapphire because he's going to put it on his wrist the whole time. And he wants GMT because he wants time zones. And he wants it on a bracelet.
I don't know. I mean,
he's asking for a lot, isn't he? It's like,
yeah, he is asking for a lot.
I think part of what happens here is that when he said sapphire, it struck me just like your Reddit guys, right? Everyone gets into this stuff and they stick with it for a long enough amount of time. And then you start not compromising on materials at all. Like I will only have the thing if it's got Sapphire. I will only, mm-hmm. you know, I will only have it if it's got water resistance of 200 meters.
Oh, I did that. I did that last summer. I was like swapping out hard Lex. I was, this has got to be Sapphire. What am I doing here? Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to think, what's the right move here? You know, is Citizen doesn't make anything that's almost appropriate. Like they've got a Nighthawk that's almost appropriate, but it's a little thick. So I'm trying to find what's the right answer for
a no, not the Nighthawk. The crystals. The crystal's going to shatter on that thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, what's the right option here?
I guess just a G-Shock.
I would say he's asking for a lot, but it kind of sounds like he should just get a G-Shock. Actually,
yeah, you should just get a G-Shock. I mean, it literally should just be like a Pro Track or something like that. He doesn't need something special. Where's he going? If he's backpacking across Europe.
Backpacking.
Yeah, it's not like he has to. Yeah. It's not like he's like he's stopping in Monaco to play
he's
craps.
See the king?
I don't think he's doing that. I need to go play a couple of rounds of baccarat. But
yeah, baccarat. He's not playing baccarat out in the old, whatchamacallit. It's not gonna happen. It's silly. It's very silly. This whole request is silly.
I think he was trying to think that this was going to be his special life changing trip, and he wanted to have a life changing watch to go with it.
That's fine. But what kind of life changing thing is he going to use? What is this life changer?
I don't know. It feels like this guy does not get out much.
that's exactly it. He's putting too much pressure
on this trip is what it kind of sounds like. Yeah, young man, get yourself a G-Shock and have a good time. You're hyping it up too much in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Don't put the pressure on the watch for your cross country. This is the first time he's been out of the country, apparently. So I don't know if he has never left Alabama or whatever, or North Carolina. So let him do his business. It's far more important for him to get a good pair of shoes versus a good watch.
Oh yeah, good point.
He's gonna be running around with his watch. He's gonna be running around with his whatchamacallit. He's gonna be running around with his phone anyway. So what does it matter?
The shoes are a very good point. That's actually the smartest thing.
He's like a Vasquez or whatever. Some really good walking shoes.
And a baseline effect. I remember reading a blog post, this was probably about a year ago, someone preparing for, or like someone like into hiking already and like the mistakes that like new hikers make. Mm-hmm. And they get all the stuff. They got the shoes. They got the windbreaker. They got all this. And they're like, they're not in great shape. So that like, you know, they walk up the hill and they're like, and they ruin it for the rest of the team because it's like, well, you've known about this trip for 6 months. You couldn't have like. Yeah. Tried to train a little bit.
Gone for a daily constitutional.
Just something like that. And so they have all the things, but forgot the very slight physical preparation. And it's like, you kind of killed the trip for everyone. So,
or when you get the really good shoes, but then you don't break them in.
Yeah, that's
true. So you find out right on the first walk that you get the blisters because you didn't actually do anything with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's all kinds of other stuff this guy should be worrying about, especially again. Doesn't sound like the guy has a lot of cash to spend on stuff. You tell me. It doesn't seem if he's never been out of the country, he hasn't really splashed out that much. So there's literally no reason for him to splash out on a Sapphire watch that he's going to wear along the Rio. What's the Sierra de Campo, Camino de la something. Yeah, Camino de la de Seashell or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So anyway, give him something else to think about.
Good shoes. Good shoes were a good idea.
Good shoes and a nice G-Shock, and you'll have a good time.
Yeah. Perfect. I just bought a Speedmaster, guys. I feel really bad.
you wait.
I feel like you should have led
the episode.
But
with that.
But this is the week that everyone's selling Speedmasters.
Is it? I didn't see any sold.
Why did I see that?
The Phillips auction had the Speedmaster go at a super high price. And so now people are unloading their Speedmasters because someone money laundered through a Speedmaster. And so like people are trying to get the cash for them. And you bought?
I bought a Speedmaster.
What'd you get?
I just got a Seamaster Professional, probably 2018 or something. It's a good, just a professional, nothing special, not a Sapphire sandwich or anything.
I wouldn't want this. Speaking of specs, I wouldn't want the Sapphire Speedmaster. That seems
no.
Okay, for the uninitiated here, they have a hezolite crystal. They have the sapphire sand. Which what's the deal for the people who don't know?
So the hezolite crystal is the plastic crystal that was designed. It's plastic, right? And it's and every time you look at, if you go into a Speedmat, if you go into an Omega store, or go into a watch store, and you're like, you're thinking to yourself, hey, I'm going to pick myself up a Speedmaster. You look at it and it's the dial is plastic, and the crystal is plastic, and you feel bad about it. You feel like you're probably not going to enjoy it. But no, that's the original. That's how it was forever. If you want to buy a moon watch, a specific moon watch, that's what you buy.
I would agree.
Then there's the crystal sapphire sandwich, which is a see-through back, which is approximately the same as the original, but it just has a see-through back. And then you have all these other Speedmasters like that are based on like the Mark 8 or whatever, Mark 2, Mark 3, different types. And then there's the racing Speedmasters, which I don't like at all. And then you got all the different the Snoopy Speedmasters and Dark Side of the Moon crap and everywhere. Anyway,
didn't you have a Mark II? I think I remember you having a Mark II style.
I had a Mark II style with the orange bezel sort of thing.
Yeah.
I sold that. And then I also have a Mark 2.5, which is a 24 hour dial and a day date. And I actually enjoy those. But I just wanted the standard hand wind. Also the Speedmaster's hand wind, which is important because if you're a big fancy spacewalker, you want to be able to wind your watch as opposed to allow it to spin around.
I think it was just a matter of at the time they didn't have automatic movements when they were first testing them for space.
Maybe we don't know. We don't know.
Well, we kind of do.
But we haven't.
We sort of clearly do, right? The automatic chronographs came around in 1969, and NASA was testing these things back a few years before that.
All right. So you know better than I do. It
was like 66, 67, and they went to their local jewelry store. They bought a couple of Daytonas, bought a couple of Speedmasters, dunked them in a pool. The Rolex is filled with water, and the Speedmasters didn't. So that's what they took to the moon.
Well, apparently that's all apocryphal. So there's something to be,
there's some more information about that actually is verifiable.
Is there?
I'll dig that up. We'll post it on the site. Yeah.
We have absolute proof.
We have very good proof. Yeah.
We have acceptable proof. All right.
We got people testifying to it. So, all right.
Did what's his name? Buzz Aldrin say that he was like,
one of the things about this is because it's a government thing, there are written reports summing up the tests. So it's possible to actually like locate the evidence that says the report says this happened.
All right. I'll buy it.
FOIA NASA.
Yeah. Let's FOIA NASA. Let's get to the bottom. Let's ruin Omega's entire like business model. we'll get the FOIA and we'll completely get it. And it'll be three jerks
in a podcast.
Yeah. And it's like, Buzz Aldrin wore a Timex and what's his name? He had an alarm clock around his neck, like Flavor Flav. Nobody had even heard of a Speedmaster in Florida. Yeah. Where do you get? Cape Canaveral. Was it Cape Canaveral or Texas or Florida?
I think it was Houston. I think it was Texas.
It was Texas. So who the hell knows about a Speedmaster in Texas? Especially
they had
in the
them
50s,
in jewelry stores.
Ah,
yeah, they had them.
Very apocryphal. Very apocryphal. I think this is how we make our nut boys. This is what we do. We go.
Well, step one, prove that he didn't wear a Speedmaster. Step two, prove that he didn't even go to the moon. There we go. I think we've made the podcast. That'll put us on the map.
I think that truly defines the future of the Our Time podcast. We are now anti-vax, anti-flat earthers who believe that no one touched the face of the moon. And with that, we close our episode. Do we have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Anyway, I'm
before
pleased.
We get in
I'm,
trouble.
I'm pleased with my Speedmaster. I had a Speedmaster reduced way back in the old days when I was probably my first fancy watch that I bought, and I sold it. I kind of missed it. I had the Speedmaster day date month one, the one with the weird one, the blue and the red and all that stuff. I sold that and I sent it to Europe and FedEx lost it or DHL lost it. So I was sad about that.
Really?
But now I have this and I'm going to have it forever and I'll be happy forever. And this will be the last watch I ever buy and everything's going to be great.
The last watch. you ever
buy. That's what I'm telling myself. What would be the last watch you would ever buy? If you could get a watch and you couldn't buy any more watches, what would it be? Think about it.
Oh man.
Think about it and come back to me next week.
We'll come back next week. That's a very deep question.
And tweet us your answers, friends and neighbors, listeners, at John Biggs, and I'll mention them on the show. Because I think that's the only way we can. I don't think anybody pays attention to the wristwatch review tweeters. This has been the Our Time Podcast. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Victor Marks.
I'm Nicholas DeLeon.
And we shall see you next week with your picks. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Our Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.